Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Friday. It is August the 10th. Man, this month is going fast as well. Good to be with you on this Friday morning. We've had a little bit of rain. We've had a little bit of sun. We've had a mixture of things today so far. And right now we stand at 73 degrees here in downtown Champaign. Great to have you with us wherever you might be listening. Again, you can join us on the phone lines, 356-9397. You can text us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line presents that every day, 351-5357. And you can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Some open line time here in this first hour. Second hour, we'll start out with Andrea Darlis, who is someone who used to work here at WDWS years ago and also has been up at WGN Radio and Television for several years, U of I alum, and she covers the Chicago news scene on a daily basis. And we're going to talk to her about what in the world's going on up in Chicago. Why has there been so many shootings here recently, and where is it happening, and what's the mayor doing about it, and why are there protests against the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, and so forth. So we'll talk to her about that coming up in the second hour today. So you can look forward to that. We'll have some open line time here in the first hour, lots of headlines. We talked yesterday with Eric Meyer, who was the former owner now of CAMS. Well, we now know who the new owners are going to be, headed up by a group headed by Scott Cochran. Of course, has some other campus town bars. Champaign City Council putting in motion to lower fines for adults 21 and older in possession of cannabis. Now, Urbana did this a couple of years ago, lowered the fine from $300 down to $50. Champaign City Council, Councilwoman Clarissa Foreman, says, hey, we need to change that in Champaign to make it a little more equal. So we'll touch on that if we get a chance. Also, they are starting to salvage items from the Burnham Mansion as that gets underway with the demolition process. Of course, we went through the whole summer thinking eventually they were going to move it about this time, but that didn't get done. So now the salvaging and demolition to get underway. Preseason football last night. Bears, Colts, and Packers all played. Last night, football practice continues at the University of Illinois. They have a practice today, 9 to 11, and then we'll be headed over to Media Day after that. They had the big Media Day in Chicago for all the national folks, and, of course, we attend that. But then they also have the local Media Day here for people in the state of Illinois. They'll do that today at noon, so I'll go over there and cover that, be a part of that later today as we head into the weekend. And there's been a lot of talk, I know, both on this station and elsewhere, about phones, the use of telephones. We've talked about it while driving, talked about not texting while you're driving and so forth. And there's a lot of kids, if you're around any kids of any age, say between 10 and 15, there are a bunch of them, and maybe older, playing Fortnite, if you've seen that. Your kids or grandkids may be involved in that. And there's a lot of talk about the use of phones, kids using the phones too much. How early should they have a phone? Well, there's an editorial I came across. It said, hey, parents, put the phone down and pay attention to your child. So we'll touch on that a little bit. And I've got some cookies and ice cream to talk about along the way today as well that we'll bring up from time to time here during the course of the open line, and once Andrea is done with us, about the bottom of the hour at 10:30 later this morning. So that is what is happening on the show today. Next week, we've scheduled a few guests here and there along the way, some various events happening in our community we'll let you know about. Also, Julia Reitz will join me in about the middle of the week next week, so we'll visit with her for an hour. And we're getting closer and closer to the start of our Illini Fridays as we start football here in just a few weeks. So we're working our way through the month of August, working our way through a Friday. Glad you're with us. I'm Brian Barnhart. Great to meet you if you've not been with us before. Great to continue visiting with you if you've been with us all along. And we'll take a break. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll get it started on a Friday. Take your phone calls, emails, and texts. Andrea Darlis in hour number two here on a Friday on DWS. Hey, as we get ready for a football season coming up, whether you're a football fan or not, we often stop at the Beef House on our way over to different games and invite you to do the same, not just for football, but for fun, for family. Of course, the Beef House, known for their steaks, everything from 8 to 20-ounce ribeyes, petite to extra-large filet mignon, New York strip. It's my favorite, chopped sirloin with grilled onions. Maybe you like that. Not a big onions guy, but if you want to go that route, you can. Maybe you prefer pork. You can do one or two pork chops. Barbecued boneless chicken breast on the menu. Three-piece pan-fried chicken dinner. Maybe seafood more up your alley. Beef House menu features everything from grilled halibut to shrimp to sea scallops and king crab legs. Go with a pasta dish of some sort. Chicken parmesan, lots of great sides, rice or broccoli. I myself, I'm simple, meat and potatoes, but a baked Idaho potato with lots of butter. And, of course, don't forget the Beef House rolls served hot and fresh at your table with butter, apple butter, strawberry jam at your fingertips to make for a delicious start to your meal. Whatever you like, however you like it, you'll definitely find it at the Beef House just off I-74, exit 4 in Covington, Indiana, just across the Indiana state line. And remember, they are on Eastern time, so they're an hour ahead. So just remember that when you're scheduling to meet and head over there with family and friends. All right, what's in the news today? I've been reading several articles on various topics. Of course, there's a lot of talk about the upcoming elections in November. One writer says the table is set for Democrats to take the House. That's from the Washington Post. CBS News says, believe it or not, the GOP could keep the House. There's articles about the Democrats' quest to win the Senate. One writer in the Washington Post says, enough, time for Mueller to subpoena the president. Those are some of the headlines from Washington, D.C. There are also some editorials. Why is there so much shooting and killing in Chicago? That's from the Chicago Tribune. We talked about that quite a bit near the end of the show yesterday, and we'll talk to Andrea Darlis about that in the second hour today. And, of course, locally, the rumor's true now. The campus town bar owner Scott Cochran among the new owners of Cam's. He's hinting that establishment may go the way of the two others he owns, Firehouse and Clybourne. Now, those two, according to Cochran, are going to be closing September 4th to make way for a high-rise. Says he's looking to reopen those bars somewhere else. But he is part of a group that has been put together to purchase from Eric Meyer the Cam's restaurant. So that was news from yesterday. You may have seen all the coverage through News Gazette Media and here on the radio. Rosecrans Treatment Center to open in December. That's a local headline. Champaign City Council to put in motion to lower fines for adults 21 and older in possession of cannabis. Clarissa Foreman says, why someone arrested in Champaign on that side of Wright Street or $350 fine, but just a $50 fine on the other side of Wright Street? Urbana had a similar initiative 2 years ago, lowered the fine for cannabis possession, $300 to $50, down from $300. And again, Peoria Architectural Salvage, they've been busy stripping the interior detailing to be completed by next week from the Burnham Mansion as the work continues over at Champaign Central and in Unit 4. So those are some of the local headlines. And another school year upon us. Urbana school administrators confident they can deliver on promises made under a new student discipline policy that's drawn ire from parents in Urbana. The district doing away with deans, which used to dole out discipline. Superintendent Don Owen says that system had produced bad outcomes for students of color. Now officials are preaching restorative practices, focuses on small group communication among students and teachers to solve conflicts. And Owen says that the staff has been through training on the new system over the last 4 months. They'll have more on that coming up on Sunday in the News Gazette with News Gazette Media Lindsay Jones. So you can look for that when it comes to Urbana school discipline. So those are some of the local stories. Now, if you want to talk about those, you can. If you want to talk about something entirely different you've come across, that's the beauty of the open line. Whatever you want to bring up, you can certainly do it, whether it's through the phone, email, or text. This is kind of your hour. Let's go to the phones to John. Good morning, John. Hello? I don't hear anything. You there,
Hello?
John? Hey, John, how are you?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Good.
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
We found you.
Hey, well, you were talking about the Beef House. Before you order your meal, order that cheeseburger soup and get one of those rolls. You forget about your meal. Eat that cheeseburger soup.
Cheeseburger soup.
I couldn't believe how good that stuff was. It is good.
I don't think I've ever had cheeseburger soup.
I tell you what, I don't know what tempted me to try it, but I tried it, and I'm telling you, it was good.
Well, good. I'll have to look for that.
It is really nice. Brian, one thing is, I was wanting to know, well, there's two things. I know the president don't believe in chain migration, but somehow he got his in-laws here, so I guess my in-laws are not outlaws, but anyway, I ain't got no control of that. But it would be nice for, like, the Packers and the Bears to come down here and play again, because we got the facilities, we got the hotels, we got the bars. If you can't find something to do in Champaign, something is wrong. This town is growing tremendously, but it would be nice for that happen again, because I tell you, that was a great event that came here that night.
Yeah, that was 2002 is when all that happened, and the stadium's been upgraded substantially since then.
I'm telling you. So I hope our city council and everybody's sitting down and talking to, you know, Chicago or whatever, and see what we can get here. I tell you what, it would be rewarding. And the only other thing, I'm not trying to hold you up.
Oh, no, you're fine.
When we're looking at our airport, you know, the first thing, you know, you're looking at this airport. Number one, I'm retired military. You walk in that airport, you see nothing but battleship gray. You think you're going to war. I mean, they need to change the color on the outside, inside, put a bar downstairs, you know, like a lounge just to relax, mm-hmm. put you a bar and a nice restaurant upstairs. We need to upgrade that airport, and I guarantee we start getting people in here, because right now everything is downtown pretty much. But in order for people to tailgate and things like that, a lot of people want to hover around the airport until their families get here, and then they can go elsewhere. But who's going to sit there and watch luggage go around a carousel? You know, or watch the rental cars get washed. You know, we don't need to pay somebody from the outside world to come here and update this airport. This community can do it ourselves. Look at that stadium. They changed that stadium and also the assembly hall. Remember, the assembly hall used to look like battleship gray? Look at it now. Hmm. All it took is some paint. And look how people are flowing into the assembly hall. So that's my thought, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. A paint job out at Willard. Wow.
Update and put a couple of bars and a couple of restaurants, you know, some TV screens. Make it look like a sport airport. You know, get people to come here.
All right. Well, thank you, John.
Okay, take care.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate the call. I guess the big thing is, you know, is to have more rain. They've been working on this, getting more people to fly out of Champaign-Urbana. And part of that's determined by pricing and availability and so forth. There's a competitive market out there, obviously, with Bloomington and Peoria and different airports, and airlines have what the goals they're looking for. We've just seen that with United and, you know, over the years and different airlines that have come and gone. But John says it just needs a new paint job. That would help. Interesting. I hadn't thought about that, and I've never had cheeseburger soup. Haven't thought to order that at the Beef House. I didn't even know that was on the menu. Maybe don't look far enough down the menu. 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 3515357. Everybody talks about phones. There was an editorial out in Salt Lake City. It said, in our opinion, parents put down the phone. And it says here, most people have a general understanding of the effect intense quantities of screen time have on children. But emerging research brings to light the equally concerning impact parental smartphone use has on those same children. That data was featured in the Atlantic magazine, revealed that parents' digital addictions are putting children at risk. In light of this, parents should find ways to put down the phone and tune into their children's needs. And I've got some more on this here as we go along. All right, back to the phones to Hank. Good morning, Hank.
Morning, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Have you been aware of the breaking news about Bruce Orr, who was, I believe he was like an assistant director in the Department of Justice. He was like the number three or number four man. And his involvement in this Russia collusion hoax.
No, and I haven't really heard much about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently some of the subpoena documents, which included some of his, as far as the, I believe it was the Senate Intelligence Committee, that had been stonewalled by both the DOJ and the FBI under, amazingly enough, Republican leadership, which just shows you the corruption of rhinos and the establishment, be it Democrat or rhino. Anyway, it turns out that his involvement in this whole thing, which led to the Grand Inquisition against Trump, is far deeper than what was originally thought, and it also re-implicates Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS, who was, you know, infamous for working with Christopher Steele to come up with that fraudulent dossier, which the left lies about having been corroborated, which it never has been. And it looks like we are dealing with a corruption so deep that it should scare everybody. And this is in the Department of Justice and the FBI, starting under the Obama administration, who weaponized these departments in the first place. This is not some wild-eyed conspiracy theory. It's playing out right before our eyes. And I've recommended a book before for people to read, which was Three Felonies a Day, which ought to give a lot of people pause, given the powers of the FBI and Department of what I call Department of Injustice now. And also another book called License to Lie. If they don't think federal prosecutors lie or try to get witnesses to compose or to plea deal against somebody else, so that the prosecutors can put a notch in their pistol, so to speak, their legal pistol for another case won. They better open their eyes now. And all these libertarians, so-called liberal libertarians, they better wake up because they're playing with fire now. And yeah, I know they hate Trump. I'm ambivalent about him. For one thing, I voted for Gary Johnson. I have to keep saying that because people keep calling me Republican, and I'm not. Anyway, it's scary. It's sobering because we're dealing with a corruption that, if not dealt with, and it won't be dealt with if the Democrats do win back the House and Congress and the Senate. That's, I think, another reason that we need to continue these investigations and making sure that they are completed, because we need to know and find out what in the world is going on in the FBI. And what in the world is going on in the Department of Justice to where they can exonerate somebody like Hillary and give her people all these immunities, and then they go with a vengeance against Trump? It's almost like you're trying to frame them. And I'm not naive here. I know Trump's, you know, one of these billionaire playboys. People don't like him, and he's a former Democrat for one thing. But it's a very scary thing. We're dealing with corruptions at the highest level that make Watergate look like a Boy Scout jamboree, seriously.
Okay.
That's something that people need to consider. I mean, we're dealing with a corruption that's mind-boggling. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Hank. Appreciate it. 356-9397. You can read about what he was talking about. I Googled it while he was talking. The Washington Times has that article on Mr. Orr, if you'd like to check that out. All right, Mike in Champaign says, "Hi, Brian, did you like your shirt? I'm not sure if I can get you to switch teams, but maybe you will." Well, Mike came by this morning, and I'm sorry I missed you, Mike. I was downstairs, but he brought me by a shirt. He says on the front of the shirt, it says, "I'm a Tar Heel fan living in enemy territory." It has a picture of the state of Illinois with the Tar Heel logo superimposed on it. Now, I'm sorry, Mike. I like you, and I appreciate the gift, but I'm not wearing that shirt. Maybe I can just hanging around somewhere and chuckle a couple of times. But we still owe you from 2005. That was our, we should have won that title. All right, 9:26, and we'll take a quick break. Back with more after this, DWS. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, 9:29. The editorial that I was telling you about, the author citing research at Harvard Center on the developing child to reveal how relational a child's verbal development is, says children rely with near exclusivity on engaged call and response communication to build the early architecture of their brain. While it may seem harmless to surf social media or send emails while babysitting an infant who is incapable of holding a conversation, research has revealed that children who are spoken to frequently before the age of two develop a vocabulary twice as large as those without intentionally communicative caretakers. As part of an editorial, says parents put down the phone. More on that as we go along. Back to the phones here to Jeff. Good morning. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I've only got a couple minutes, but I wanted to read this. This is, I saw this last night. I'm not a Facebooker. I do Facebook about once a month. But somehow, some way, I was on there last night, and I saw this, and I couldn't stop laughing. It says, this is that Ocasio-Cortez woman, I think is her name, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says, yes, I realize that Medicare for all would cost $30 trillion over 10 years. But think about it. Trillion is just a billion with three zeros added. And zeros have no value. So there's no real cost.
Well,
what?
Every time this woman, every time you add a zero, it gets bigger.
And from what I understand, I don't know this for certain, but from what I understand, this woman is an economic major. She got a degree in economics.
I think from Boston College or Boston U. I can't remember which one.
I don't know. And I read that, and I thought, this woman cannot be serious. She just simply can't. And what's worse than that, Brian, is that people follow this woman. People like this woman, and they take what she says as gold. It's like, you can't, Brian, it's just impossible for me to believe this.
And for people that don't know, and Jeff knows who she is, she's the socialist candidate from, was it Brooklyn, I think, that won a Democratic primary. And is probably going to, she's definitely going to be in the Congress in the, because there's a run unopposed or very little competition out there, and has been campaigning recently for other candidates across the country.
yeah. It's just rocked. I read that and that rocked my world. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to run, man.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, bye.
Good to hear from you. By the way, they tracked the candidates that she went out and campaigned for. They all lost in the different primaries here in the last week. But there was a big article I saw recently. Somebody wrote editorial-wise saying, we've started debating socialism. And there was an interesting article about that, the different tenets that she's been talking about. And obviously not quite mainline candidate, but the ideas that are there have begun to permeate. We saw with Bernie Sanders in the last election, even though he lost to Hillary, as it turned out, in the primary, no matter how it happened or where it happened and when it happened, but he did lose. But his ideas were very, very popular. And are they becoming more popular? And there was a big article on that a few weeks ago about move in that direction by a lot of voters. 9:33, Michael Kaiser's here with news headlines, and then we'll get back to your phone calls, emails, and texts. Andrea Darlis joins us in hour number two.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Brian Barnhart back on Penny for Your Thoughts as we close out the week. Glad you're with us. Headed today for a high of 86. Normal high is 84. Record is 99 all the way back to 1893 on that one. 938 and 74 degrees here in downtown Champaign. Glad you're with us on Penny for Your Thoughts. Just kind of open line here today where it's kind of a laid-back Friday, talking about a variety of things already, including cheeseburger soup. I kind of started everything today. And I've been reading a little bit about an opinion piece out west in Salt Lake City talking about, we always tell our kids, put down your phones, you're on it too much. And in their opinion, it says, parents, put down that phone yourself. They say, while the physical, cognitive, and emotional dangers posed by distracted parenting are evident, the most important takeaway for busy parents juggling demanding jobs and obligations, all while trying to remain engaged with their children, is that perfection is not possible. All parents occasionally slip, for example, taking an important call in the middle of a conversation with their children. However, the key is to disrupt the habits of cell phone use and the idle time that could be spent engaging with children. And it's clear, it says, this editorial, that technology is affecting everyone on nearly every level of physical and emotional well-being. Unfortunately, the trends are likely to continue without concerted countervailing efforts. Parents feel constant pressure to give their children superlative opportunities, working hard to get them placed into the best schools and accepted to expensive extracurricular programs, but they would do well to remember that perhaps the best investment would come by simply putting their phone down and being a little more present. So that was from the Deseret News out in Salt Lake City is where I came across that, so I found that interesting. 356-9397 is the phone number today. As always, let's go to Carl. Good morning, Carl.
Hey, Brian. Do you suppose Warren remembers the 99 degrees in 1893?
Lauren Tate, he might.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a suggestion, first of all, that I know a few people, few listeners will hate, but I have a feeling that the new Doctor Who, maybe the producer, will be touring the United States in the coming fall to promote the new series. And I was wondering, I know you're busy with the Pigskin coming up, but I was wondering if you might look into having her on the air. But anyway.
Sure. I definitely could look at that. Suggestion. Yeah.
But I noticed in the past week, Scott had somebody on the Tuesday show talking about, well, Illini fans need to wait until they get more experience and a couple of years down the road. But Illinois history, the last five bowl teams, only one true senior, Kurt Kittner, led a team to the bowl game. I mean, they're Kittner, Juice Williams, and Nathan Shielhouse led the team to bowl games as a sophomore.
Hmm.
At sophomores.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be seniors.
Some of the best.
Yeah.
Some of the best teams in the last 20 years have been with inexperienced players. So.
Well, yeah, and kind of depends too on, you know, what year in the rebuild the program is in. I mean, by Ron Turner's third year, they had made some pretty good improvements. And Kittner was a big part of that. And then, of course, Ron Zook's third year, they made some steps forward, and Juice was a part of that. So a lot of it has to do with timing. But, yeah, that's a good thing to think about, I think.
You know, so I don't know. I think there's going to – I'm not saying they're going to win the Big Ten title or anything. I'm just saying six or seven games is doable this year.
Well, I hope you're right. The schedule is a little more favorable. But as I said before, I think what fans want is, A, they want to see some forward progress, and, two, beat the teams you can beat. Rutgers, Purdue, you know, Minnesota. Win those games. Win your early non-conference games. Give yourself a chance to be competitive in the other games, and I think that's where we are right now, and that's what people want to see.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I don't know. You can talk about all kinds of different things, but if you start out with the idea of run the ball and stop the run, you win a whole lot of ball games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where they've won and lost games, is in the trenches, no matter what. Thank you, Carl.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Great to have you on. Brian is next. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. I don't have anything to say about football, and I've heard enough about Trump, but there is an article today in the News Gazette on B3 that just really broils my chickens. There is the article's entitled Chicago and Railroad Police Criticized for Using Bait Trucks, and it goes on that community activists and local aldermen are criticizing a joint investigation by Chicago Police and Norfolk Southern Railroad using trucks loaded with goods to lure potential thieves. It says residents of the city's Englewood neighborhood filmed police arresting a man and have accused officers of trying to entrap poor residents with the truck. And I just get tired of people not taking responsibility for their own actions and always having to blame it on something else, an opportunity they wouldn't have had or something like that. They made a decision to steal from those trucks, and they just make it sound like it's not their fault. And so that's about all I had to say about
that.
Yeah,
I see that article now that you're talking about. Yeah, it's a very small article, but it's up there in the upper left-hand corner of B3. And as you said, the Norfolk Southern Railroad spokeswoman defended the investigating, saying such stings are used by law enforcement to crack down on patterns of thefts in certain areas. And she said three people were arrested during the operation. But an alderman from Chicago said they're unacceptable and inappropriate use of police resources. But
I've actually seen these sorts of operations on like 60 Minutes, and these are well-timed, executed operations. They go in with a panel truck and three or four people, and they grab a bunch of boxes, throw them in the truck, and are off and running in 30 to 45 seconds. And it's not like it's just a crime of opportunity. They plan these things out.
Yeah, so, when you first said bait trucks, I'm thinking fishing bait, which the principle. I get it now when I read it, but I was like, interesting. Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that.
No, I hadn't either. Yeah. But the repeated "not my fault" kind of mentality is just it wearies me.
All right. Hey, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair, full service collision repair facility. Dave Miller and Bill Gallo are the men there. They're passionate about their business. They truly care, and they know that having an accident is not fun. It's no fun. Whether you have a car accident, you back out of your garage, you hit something, they can give you a free estimate on any or all of that. So we hope you'll stop by if you need them. And they're being honest. They hope you don't need them. But if you do, they're conveniently and centrally located in Champaign-Urbana. Look for their attractive building on the south side of I-74 between the Neal Street and Prospect exits. You can visit the website at gallomiller.com is where you can go. And again, just turn the keys over to them. Let them take care of everything. They'll deal with the insurance companies, the insurance adjusters, and to get your car back up to the proper specifications. So Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair, one of our sponsors. Yeah, the last caller just mentioned that article is on B3. There's also an article on the gun violence in Chicago. Governor Rauner blaming the gun violence on Mayor Emanuel. He says the leaders of Chicago have fundamentally failed horribly. And Rauner said of the police up there they need to be more assisted in their staffing. He did not elaborate on that. And there's some pushback from Emanuel spokesman as well. But we'll talk to Andrea Darlis about all that coming up after the news at 10. 356-9397 is the phone number. A quick break and back with more of our show. Open line time up till the top of this hour. Andrea Darlis after the news at 10. She's up at WGN in Chicago. And then more open line to close out the show as we work our way through a Friday on Penny for Your Thoughts. I don't know what you were doing in 1984, what you were listening to in 1984, but that was that song right there. Of course, the movie was a big part of it, too, but it was the number one song in the country for 4 weeks. Ghostbusters, looking back at that. Let's see here. Happy birthday today. Antonio Banderas is 58. Reality TV star and cosmetics entrepreneur. So that's what she does. Kylie Jenner is 21. Alan Funt's Candid Camera debuted on ABC in 1948. 1981, Cal Ripken Jr. made his major league debut as a pinch runner for the Baltimore Orioles. He was involved, by the way, and I've got a souvenir cup, not because I was at the game, but because I got one when I was in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. The Pawtucket and Rochester played, I think, a 33-inning game, and I've got a cup with all the innings, top and bottom of the innings, wrapped around the cup, and he played in that game. So that's, I knew he was back about the early 80s when that happened. 356-9397-951, that's the phone number. 217-351-5357. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. I mentioned cookies and ice cream as part of a teaser here for today's show. Oreo, with their Mr. Oreo creation contest, they announced the top three flavors for new Oreo cookies. Kettle corn, pina colada thins, and cherry cola. Lots of people voted. The winning flavor for the Oreos is officially cherry cola. That means Eden F. They don't give her last name. The person who submitted the flavor is $500,000 richer. Oreo says the flavor won't be on sale for much longer. Then only time will tell if cherry cola Oreos ever return permanently. They've been doing some of that along the way with different flavors. 9:52 here at DWS. Also ice cream and favorite stops. I was emailed this recently having to do with some of the places where you can get ice cream treats in the Champaign-Urbana area. Some of them are pretty obvious. Jarling's Custard, of course, that's a big stop. Some of the other ones may or may not be as familiar to you. Fluster's Candy Kitchen was one down in Tuscola. You can't go wrong with a trip to Tuscola to eat at Flesser's, whether for a meal or just for ice cream. That's the epitome of nostalgia. Also worth the calories. Another one on the list that was sent to me, Dick's Pharmacy in Arthur. Says, I can still remember my first Dick's Pharmacy chocolate milkshake. The closest thing to heaven I'd ever tasted. This is the last vestige of Americana. An old-fashioned, locally-owned pharmacy with a soda fountain built in. Of course, my kids had no idea what it all meant. But they got a kick out of it when they visited. Let's see here. What else is on the list? Mansfield General Store in Mansfield. More than 20 different flavors of soft-serve ice cream are available in the historic General Store, as well as other frozen treats, baked goods, coffee, sandwiches, and more. Cafe only part of the store's charm, which was originally built in 1895. Another one sent in was Dewey's Drive-In in Farmer's City, been a Farmer's City tradition since 1956. Cheeseburgers, fries, and old-fashioned shakes, popular items on the menu. The lemon ice cream is an absolute favorite. 1950s drive-in vibes adds to the overall experience. And I hope I say this right, Obie's Arctic Chill. First thing you notice about Obie's Arctic Chill, this is in Oakwood, is their extensive ice cream and frozen treat menu. The second thing is the super friendly service and excellent prices located on Oakwood Street, the main drag in Oakwood. You can get an icy banana split, hand-dipped ice cream, soft serve, much, much more. Prices are extremely reasonable, they say, and the hand-dipped ice cream, excellent. They have a drive-through, large and shaded pavilion with ample picnic table seating. They say it's worth the stop if you're headed east on I-74. And the Belly Deli in Homer, another place for ice cream. Again, this was emailed to me. If you're in the mood for ice cream, the Main Street Belly Deli, Belly Deli, has inventive and delicious ice cream concoctions, some wicked good sandwiches too, hand scoop cups, sugar cones, cake cones. They offer 8 different flavors of ice cream. And the Dairy Barn over in Sydney. How can I forget the Dairy Barn over in Sydney with our friend Dennis Riggs over there? Been there a few times recently on Father's Day. Says this is the homemade ice cream just like the kind your parents used to make when you were little. And they're often at the Urbana Market at the Square and other events around town. Got a text in. That's just some ice cream that I teased a little bit about when we talked about what might be on the show today. So we've touched on that. 9:56 here at DWS. Open line time here. We'll talk to Andrea Darlis, WGN Radio in Chicago, coming up after the news at 10. Text in says, why are there so many different uniforms for football? I'd rather have a winning team instead of a pretty team. Well, there are a lot. It's all marketing. It really is. Marketing and getting the different jersey styles and colors. And I can tell you, the young people of today, that's what they're interested in. You know, for those of us a little older, it might seem like, well, why are they wearing gray uniforms? And why are they wearing this? And why are they wearing that? Well, that's kind of the times we live in when it comes to that. Let me tell you about Busey. Four reasons why people spend too much money. Understanding the basics of budgeting and saving and monitoring money doesn't always mean you're in control of your spending. Four reasons why you break your budget. Forgetting the future. Leaving an emergency savings for emergencies only. Rewarding yourself too often. They say to scale back on those impulse purchases. Mixing mood with money. Spend money when you're happy and positive, when it's easier to remember long-term financial goals. And bad home equity habits. They say at Busey, don't think of your home as a piggy bank. Be smart with your home equity or line of credit. And they say you can manage your finances whenever you want through Busey's online services, the Busey mobile app, Busey Text, Money Management, Busey Bill Payment. You can see and pay all your bills online. No more checks to write or postage to pay. That sometimes can be a hassle, right? And on your Busey Text, you can view balances or transfer right from your cell phone. Regain control of your finances with Busey. Visit Busey.com or call 1-800-67-BUSEY or stop by one of their many convenient locations today. Greg in Monticello says, I love the idea of bait trucks, B-A-I-T. He says, YouTube has many videos of bait trucks. Maybe the truck should have been loaded with work clothes, work boots, and job applications, library books, Greg says, from Monticello. 9:58 here at DWS. Appreciate all the emails and texts today. Also, another one just in says, please ask Andrea Darlis, about the lousy job the Cook County State's Attorney is doing by not prosecuting or low or no bond for the gangsters and repeat gun offenders. I just read a book about Illinois State Trooper Leighton Davis of Effingham, who was murdered along I-57 by an ex-convict that had been released by a judge in Chicago who had given the killer 5 days to get his personal affairs in order, but left Chicago instead of reporting to prison. He left the city and then murdered Trooper Davis a few hours later on I-57 just north of Effingham. This happened in 1976. This releasing of criminals is nothing new to the Cook County court system. Well, we'll ask her about the Cook County State's Attorney when Andrea Darlis is on with us. She used to work here, by the way, at WDWS. And has been up in Chicago, and she's been covering all the shootings and violence in the city of Chicago. And why is that happening? What's going on up there? Is it all gangs, or is there more to it than that? We'll get someone who's on the front lines of covering all that here in the next hour, and then more open line time to close out the week here on Friday. All right, 9:59. The news is coming up here in less than 10 seconds on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. At the tone, it will be 10 o'clock on Penny for Your Thoughts.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two. Any for your thoughts? News Talk 1400 DWS. Glad you're with us on this Friday, August the 10th. A good open line conversation in the first hour. In fact, near the very end, we started talking about Illini uniforms, of all things. And it says here, new Illini uniforms are dull and ugly. Reminds me of an article I read years ago declaring Penn State's uniforms the best in the Big Ten. He says they wear practice uniforms. So anyway, we're talking about that near the end of the show and lots of other things along the way in the first hour. We're going to start this hour, though, looking north up to Chicago. Of course, a deadly weekend last weekend. I think 11 dead, 70 wounded. There was some more violence on Monday earlier in the week. And Andrea Darlis is up with WGN Radio and TV. In fact, she is a WDWS alum. Is that right, Andrea?
Brian, it absolutely is. Boy, I was I worked there under Robin Taylor, who was Robin Neal, and then Eric Todd, and that was in the, I'm going to date myself here, Brian, that was in the, we'll call it the mid-90s.
Mid-90s. Well, you had a lot of fun here, I guess, right?
Oh, I did. I did. In fact, I wanted to stay. I thought I would stay. And then I received a phone call from a station in Joliet, WJOL. So I went to work there in 1994 for about 4 years. And then I moved to WGN Radio here in Chicago in 1997. So mm-hmm. I've been here ever since.
You've been doing
now
some...
I work for, yeah, for the radio and the TV station now.
I was going to say doing both, yeah, for both sides of it. Yes. So you enjoy one yes. over the other or enjoy them both? I know they're different mediums.
You know, they're so very different. I enjoy the immediacy with radio. That's what I was born and bred doing. I've been working at the TV station for about 7 years now, covering crime and the stories that you're referencing. And I also do some features for them on the weekends, too. So that's a nice little, that's a little respite, a little break from all of the crime and the shootings that we cover.
Oh, for sure. And you're a U of I alum, too.
I am, yes, College of Media.
Do you get down to many football games?
You know, I used to. I used to come a couple times a year, and then it just because of work scheduling, it was maybe once a year, and now I try and come back every other year. So I think I'm due this year.
Well, and we have a great mutual friend in Dave Ennett.
Oh, Dave is the best. Dave is our sports director at WGN Radio. He dabbles in television as well, and he's such a good guy. He's the type of person, Brian, as you know, and you're like this too. You can ask any day, August, 7th of 2012, oh, yeah, the Cubs were playing the Phillies, and he'll tell you the lineup, and he's just a sports geek in a great way.
Yep.
He's the best.
And the voice of the Northwestern Wildcats, so that's...
That's right.
We see him all the time, so...
I tease him all the time about that, because on game days, he'll wear purple, and I'll wear orange, even if the Illini are not playing the Northwestern Wildcats, and he'll say to me, I know, you're tried and true Illini. I said, it's in my blood. He said, you bleed orange and blue. I said, this is true. You're never going to change me.
Well, it's good to have you on with this, Andre, and I guess the serious matter at hand is all the shootings in Chicago. Now, you were on hand. Were you at a hospital here over the weekend and saw a lot of the wounded coming in?
I was, Brian. It was unreal. I was actually supposed to be covering a feature that day, and they called very, very early in the morning and said, we're going to move you to news because there's been a few shootings. And I thought maybe one or two or three. That's how bad it's become. And there were 11 different shootings in a six-hour span. So I got to work about 5 o'clock in the morning. So all these shootings had happened from midnight until 3. And then they kept coming in. And as I was doing the report from our trauma center here, Stroger Hospital, the numbers kept coming in, Brian. So I kept having to change and say, okay, well, there's 3 more. There's 2 more. And when I was on the air, they brought in another gunshot victim who had died. It was, at that point, we had 34 shot. And by the next day, the number doubled and then some. Hmm. So it's gotten just completely out of control.
So I guess the big question is why? What is going on up there?
Here, my thought is that you always see a trend, an upward trend in shootings in the summer months. We've had consistently 90-degree days the past 2 weeks or so. And what I'm learning is some of these shootings, and this is interesting too, Brian, because they were calling some of these mass shootings, and people were taking exception with that. But unfortunately, they are mass shootings. A mass shooting is if an incident, four or more people are shot in one particular incident. And in most of these incidents that I reported on Sunday were more than 4 people. One, in fact, was a house party with 8 people. Then there was another group standing on the corner where 4 people shot. A few miles away, 4 people shot. And unfortunately, it is many of these, the same neighborhoods where gun crime is very high. You know, and it's unfortunate because I love Chicago. I love this city. This is my hometown. And we're getting this reputation, unfortunately, for being this violent city. yet most of this violence is isolated to two or three neighborhoods, and they're during these house parties or these group gatherings, always very, very late at night or early in the morning. So I think that's probably the long answer to why this is happening now. I think just more of these people are armed with illegal guns. You know, back in the day, I mean, think about it. When we were younger, we hung out on the with our friends. We played outside. We were all out past curfew. And I don't even know if the curfew is enforced anymore. But now I think more people have their hands on guns, illegal guns on the streets. That I think, is the problem.
I know. In Chicago, do they have pretty strict gun laws anyway? And it's just the gangs or whoever just going around the law, right?
I think so. There are strict gun laws. Here's the problem that I see in covering this. The police do everything that they possibly can. They beef up patrols. They have these high-tech cameras that they have on the L platforms now and in these neighborhoods and these the eye in the sky, the cameras that are on these street corners. The police are doing everything they can. So they arrest these suspects, and then they're out in 24 hours. So I think it's the laws in Cook County. I think there need to be tougher gun laws on the books. It can't be three strikes and you're out. It needs to be one strike and you're out, or maybe two if you want to be generous with it. But there's, you know, they're arresting these criminals, and they're out on the street before they even finish the paperwork or process the report.
Andrea Darlis is with us from WGN Radio and Television, an alum here of our station, WDWS, and a U of I alum. I got an email earlier, Andrea, said please ask her about the lousy job, he says, the Cook County State's Attorney is doing by not prosecuting or lower no bond for these gangsters and repeat gun offenders.
Brian, your listener hit the nail right on the head. That is the problem. I literally had a conversation this morning with a police officer who said he was in court, and one after the other, they were just letting these people out. You know, and it becomes, you know, it's almost as though the prosecutors are lowering the bar for these crimes. Oh, well, you know, there's a dime bag, or there's how many ounces of marijuana. That's a minor offense. We'll let them go. But I think the problem too, Brian, is we've had a rash of carjackings committed by juveniles in Cook County. And that's a major problem as well, because that is, as I said, a juvenile can commit a crime. By law, they're released to the custody of their parents. By the time the police officer finishes writing the report, that juvenile is home having dinner. And they are free, and I'm using that word very loosely, to go out and do it again the next day. What happens, Brian? They're released to the custody of the parents. So these gun laws, we had some controversy surrounding our previous state's attorney, Anita Alvarez, and that was involving, there was a shooting by a Chicago police officer of a suspect who was carrying a knife and was shot 16 times. That trial is that officer is being charged with first-degree murder, and that trial is going on right now as we speak in Cook County Court. But Anita Alvarez was the state's attorney at the time. She stepped down, and there's another young state's attorney who has done, I think, a decent job so far. Her name is Kim Fox. However, she's coming into an administration that was tainted or tarnished, and I think she's trying to fix these laws. But you need to have tougher laws on the books and keep these criminals immediately in prison, especially if there's a gun involved, because these guns are so accessible for these criminals.
You mentioned the neighborhoods. The Chicago Tribune had an editorial today. It's five South and West Side communities, 9% of Chicago's population. Austin, Englewood, New
right.
City, West Englewood, and Greater Grand Crossing accounted for nearly half the city's increase in 2016 homicides. African-American males age 15 to 34 made up more than half of the city's homicide victims in 2015 and 16, while accounting for just 4% of the city's population. And I believe I read
right.
where the chief of police says, yeah, it's the same. He says perhaps 5,000 to 10,000 thugs and drug dealers driving a large share of the violence.
I completely agree with that. Our Chicago police superintendent, Eddie Johnson, is, I think, doing a very good job with the resources that he has. There's 12,000 plus Chicago police officers, and these men and women work round the clock. They work like crazy. I see them. They're getting their days off canceled. You know, they're working 7 days a week, sometimes 16-hour days. And I'm not exaggerating, Brian. This is what they are doing. They're out on the street. They're in these neighborhoods. But these same, as he put it, as the superintendent put it, thugs and gangbangers are accounting for most of this crime. And people get take exception. They get upset when you say, well, it's the same neighborhoods. Well, quite honestly, Brian, it is. It's the same neighborhoods. I would even add there's an area called Garfield Park by the conservatory up here. That's another high crime area as well. So you're putting these officers in these high crime areas and stocking as many officers as you can, but they can't be everywhere. You can't have an officer inside of a house party. You know, you can have him patrolling or her patrolling outside or in that area. And I do want to add, too, that most of these community members are asking for more police on the street. There was another police-involved shooting where the victim was carrying a weapon and a magazine illegally, and the officer shot and killed that suspect because he reached for the weapon and ran from police. Well, then the police are scrutinized. It's almost impossible for them to do their jobs when they're in fact scared to draw a weapon in self-defense because they're going to be penalized or scrutinized for it.
Andrea Darlis is with us. We're talking about the violence up in Chicago. She's with WGN Radio and Television. Interesting, too, in the editorial by the Tribune, it mentioned that Chicago is a little bit different than, say, New York or Los Angeles. They say the level of concentrated poverty, you know, maybe for a big city, of those big cities I mentioned, Chicago more segregated than the others. Would you agree with that, covering Chicago?
I think to an extent it is. But again, and then there's also rashes of crime or crime waves that occur in the Gold Coast or the Mag Mile, which is a very high-end part of our city. It's Michigan Avenue with all the stores. And you'll get these big groups of people, these flash mobs coming in, storming the water tower or attempting to. And again, you have the police responding to the situation, saying, you know, leave, go back, get out. And, you know, their crimes are sometimes averted, sometimes not. So as far as the poverty, though, that's an interesting point because we've talked about this. I host a show on WGN Radio at night now, and it's split 50-50 when people will call in. Some will say, well, it's because these suspects are not being raised properly, you know, and it goes back to parenting and a parent being around. And many are, yes, they, I wouldn't say poverty, but they grow up in these low-income areas. I would absolutely agree with that. And then you have other people calling and saying, hey, you know what? I was raised in the far south suburbs or the far west suburbs, and we didn't have, you know, we had five kids, very little money, and a two-bedroom apartment, and we didn't go out killing people. So the opinions are very divisive and very split. But I do think so much of this starts at home and starts with these suspects and these people who with guns looking at mom and dad or mom or dad and seeing how they're living and if they have an illegal gun. And then it trickles down.
Let me ask you, Andrea, the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, has taken a lot of heat, right, over all of this?
He has. Yes, he has.
And did he promise more police? Somebody was asking me. They texted in, said, please ask Andrea, where are the 1,000 police that Rahm promised?
And you know what, Brian? That's a great question. They're out there. I'm not kidding you. My producer, who works with me on WGN Radio, his brother just graduated from the police academy 2 weeks ago. So these officers are out there. They're putting officers on the street daily, daily. I covered a press conference on June 26th, and I remember the date because it was a big parade that we had in Chicago, the Pride Parade. And Rahm left the parade before he actually got there, and had this big press conference about 100 new police officers being put on the street today, you know, which would have been that day for the parade and different areas, too, and the high crime areas, too. But he is constantly adding more police officers to the street. But again, you have all these guns, illegal guns on the street, and they're accessible. At that point, the police is their hands are tied. You know, they're doing everything they can. They have body cams. They have this high-end technology with cameras, as I mentioned before. There's only so much you can do, but Rahm is feeling the heat, I think. There's a big mayoral election coming up. He's being challenged by former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy and former school chief Paul Vallis. And what's interesting about our election, Brian, is that one of those two, there's 10 candidates in the field. I just mentioned those two because they're closest right now to Rahm Emanuel in the latest polling numbers. But what they are going to have to do is force a runoff. So they have to get 51% of the vote just to force a runoff with Rahm Emanuel in the next election. So it's a tough task. I don't know if either can do it. I guess we'll see. But he is absolutely feeling the heat for all of these shootings.
Mm-hmm. Got time for a call, Andrea?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's. I know you're used to doing this. Dave, good morning. You got a call for Andrea?
Yeah, hey, good morning, Andrea. Thanks for coming on to our station down here.
Good morning.
I had my cousin is a sergeant. He actually started out as a in Chicago, on Chicago Police Department, and he started out down in District 9. He's actually now on the west side. So he saw all of this stuff when he was starting out a decade ago, and now he's moved out of that area to actually a more violent area. But so it was interesting you mentioned that a lot of the stuff is happening at house parties or gatherings, large gatherings, because three of our most significant shootings recently down here, I'm sure you heard of, were the same thing. A couple weeks ago, a young guy was killed. He was at a party. Another one at the beginning of the summer was a house party. Someone shots into a house, campus-ish party. And then the other one, most significant, was a big house party right on Green Street, right off of Green Street. Right. And there was a big house party, and this dude who actually shot up a gun at Steak and Shake and was put into Lincoln's Challenge, I believe, got released from there, came back 2 weeks after he got out of his probation or his sentence, got a gun, went to a house party, shot an innocent bystander, killed right there off of Green Street. And it's this exact same thing you're talking about that's happening up in Chicago. It's all kind of filtered down here. We're like a smaller version of it. And it's to a point, and this is my last point, and sorry, Brian, I know you got to go here. I've talked to somebody in our court system here, and he said, you know, he's been dealing with the court system for decades here in Champaign-Urbana. He said now it's at a point where judges and attorneys don't know which shooting case they're going to. At the courthouse, it used to be like one, and everyone knew who it was, who was involved, and all this stuff. Now it's gotten to a point where there's so many going on in Champaign County, they don't even know which one is what now. And it's just, it's sad. Our town has turned into this, a smaller version of Chicago.
Yeah, what do you make of all that, Andrea?
Boy. Well, thank you so much for the call. And,
thank you, Dave.
Thanks to your brother for his service to the Chicago Police Department. I know very well the district he's talking about, District 9, District 15, District 3. All of these districts are in high-crime areas, Brian. I'm very, very familiar with the police system here. I think he's absolutely right. These shootings, and you know what? I don't want to admit these drive-by shootings that we have as well. But I think it, again, falls back into the fact that, you know, these illegal guns are on the street. And let me preface this by saying, as a journalist, as a reporter, as a person, I completely support the Second Amendment. That's part of our law. You know, this is the laws of our land. And I understand that and believe in the laws of our land. However, there's these AK-15s that are these assault weapons that are falling into the hands of these gangbangers, and they drive by, and one pull of the trigger, Brian, can fire 50 shots. And I've been on these scenes where I see the police officers putting down the tally number for the bullets. I have pictures, and they'll put each bullet gets a number. And I've seen these numbers as high as 62, 63, 64. That's how many bullet casings they found on a corner, on a street corner where these people have been gathering and standing. So it is unfortunate that this is happening. But I agree with your caller very much. I think where there has to be change, and if we're gonna see a difference made, it has to be in the courts. It has to be with prosecutors, and they have to get tough on gun crimes, and they have to get tough on repeat offenders and juveniles too. I'm sorry, if you're 15 years old and you're carjacking someone and you're going out the next day and you're doing it again, you should be penalized. You should be in jail.
Got a texter that agrees with you. We'll just touch on these before we let you go. It says we need to really toughen our laws on repeat offenders. These people that commit gun violence and repeat offenders need to be dealt with harshly. Question says, Andrea, does Chicago police officers on the streets make a lot of money?
Great question. When they come out of the academy, no. And I want to tell you something about the academy too, Brian, in a second. But when they come out of the academy, no. I want to say it's $35,000 or $40,000. So it's not a huge salary. Might even be a little bit less than that. They rise up the ranks, and I know sergeants can start pulling in six figures. But that you have to pass the sergeant's test, then you pass the lieutenant's test. So they do work their way up to a decent salary. But quite honestly, I always said first responders, police, fire, paramedics, army, you know, branches of the military should be making, their base salary should be well over six figures. Because think about it, they protect us. Who's the first person you call? The police, firefighters, you know, first responders. That's who's on the ground dealing with all of this. Mm. You know, so they should, I think their salary should double. And there's some controversy right now. There's a brand new police facility that they're building on the near west side, and it's going to be a state-of-the-art facility. And you have a lot of naysayers, Brian, saying, oh, what are they spending $80 million or $90 million on a new police training facility for? Well, let me say, these are the same folks that are saying, we need more police officers on the street and better training. And we absolutely do, because the training facility they have now is basically a high school, or rather a grammar school, made to be a police facility with no air conditioning. They're training these facilities in 95 degrees with no air, broken drinking fountains. So yes, they do need a new police training facility if we're going to equip our officers and put them on the streets to try to protect us. So I wholeheartedly support that.
Last question, somebody sent in asking about Rahm Emanuel, where he lives. Does he live in the city most of the time, or does he have a residence in D.C.? Somebody asked.
No, he lives in the city. He has to be a resident, as do all city employees, police, fire. Chicago's one of the few cities that has the residency requirement. So everybody from sanitation workers to police, fire, they all have to live in the city. Rahm is no exception. He lives in an area called Ravenswood, which is on the north side of Chicago. So he does live in the city. That was a controversy, too, when he first ran for mayor, because he was living in Washington. He had served under President Obama and President Clinton. So he had been working in Washington. He said, no, he'd always maintain the residence here. So that's not without controversy either, Brian. But he does live in the city now.
All right. Some good questions from our audience. And, Andrea, great to have you with us today. And we'll do this again sometime. And keep up your great work. You say you have a show at night, right?
Yes, I do. I host from 7 to 11, unless there's White Sox baseball, and then we are on after the baseball game. So I really appreciate it, Brian. I love you guys. I love Champaign. I love my Illini, and you especially, and everybody at DWS. I miss you guys, and we'll try and get down there for a football game this year.
Yeah, and if you do, for football or basketball, make sure you say hello.
I absolutely will, Brian. Say hi to everyone and your wife and everybody there.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Go Illini.
Great to visit with you. Go Illini. All right. That's Andrea Darlis, WGN Radio and TV. Went a little long there, 10:35. Adam, let's do a minute break or so. Let Michael get set up, and then we'll get to the news after this. Well, running a little behind here at 10:41, but I've been in this business long enough. When you've got a great guest, you let them go as long as possible, and Andrea Darlis was a great guest, and we appreciate her being on WGN Radio and Television. She knows what's going on in Chicago, and very, very well-spoken, and can explain things in a easy-to-understand manner, so I appreciate her coming on. U of I alum of this radio station here at WDWS. Open line time the rest of the hour up until 11 o'clock. Next week, Julia Reitz among our guests, Champaign County State's Attorney, may ask her about her view on all of this. She's got plenty of work here to pay attention to anyway, but may see what she thinks about what's happening up there and how it has trickled down here to our communities, Champaign, Urbana, Danville, Rantoul, and others. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and email us, talk@wdws.com. If you need to look at a house this weekend, Steve and Pam Starwell, we told you about them, the husband and wife team at Keller Williams. They've worked with Damian Spencer for the last decade in helping you get pre-approved for purchasing a home, and how much you're pre-approved for when you look at a certain size of house. Today is Friday. Say you want to go looking at homes tomorrow or Sunday when the open houses are, but don't know what size and amount you might be eligible for. Well, Damien at Fisher National Bank can get that information to you right away. They can process that so you have the information you need. You're not waiting for a week to find out. I mean, they can find out today. Whether you need help transitioning from one home to another, whether you're downsizing, upsizing, maybe your family's grown, maybe you're moving out of town or you're moving across town, And maybe you're looking to get into a house that, you know, hey, we're downsizing now. Let's find out how much we're approved for, what we can get. Or you need to, with a bigger family, your family's expanding, can we afford a $200,000, $400,000, $600,000 home? I don't know. What can we even be approved for? Well, they can help you with that. 217-239-7156 is the number. Fisher National Bank is the contact point. Damian Spencer, that number will get you to Steve and Pam Starvalt. They've worked with him again for a decade. He's been in the mortgage lending business for over 20 years and happy to help you get you set up. 239-7156 is the number. Damian Spencer, Fisher National Bank, 1710 South Neal is where you can find him. One of our sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. We're going to have Illini Media Day today here locally at noon. We'll be headed over for that. Illini football practice continuing. Volleyball with an open practice tomorrow as they get ready for their season. Not just the football team practicing, but soccer teams getting ready, volleyball getting ready. So you can check that out tomorrow. They have their inter-squad scrimmage coming up a week from Saturday, and then they'll be on the road for a while. I know Dave Lone was talking about this earlier this morning, about all the travels he's going to be making here in the next few weeks as the volleyball season gets underway. Gary Woodland started slowly. He took the first round lead at the PGA Championship down in St. Louis. Talked to somebody who was down there yesterday, and they said it was hot in St. Louis for the PGA. He fired a 6-under par 64. This is as of yesterday. They're already underway today. Gave him a one-stroke lead over Ricky Fowler. Brandon Stone and Zach Johnson were two shots back, one ahead of world number one Dustin Johnson, who was tied atop the leaderboard before faltering late in the round. Tiger Woods 6 off the pace after the first round, following an even par 70. And you may have heard about the preseason games last night. Bears lost their game at Cincinnati. I think Indianapolis won their game out west. Was it Seattle, I think, is where the Colts were. Player demonstrations took place during the national anthem at several early NFL preseason games. Just interesting where all this has come. I mean, did anybody really pay any attention to preseason national anthems before the last couple of years? No, but they are now. In Philadelphia, Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins, cornerback Devontae Bosby raised their fist during the anthem. Defensive end Chris Long placed his arm around Jenkins' shoulder. Defensive end Michael Bennett walked out of the tunnel during the anthem, walked toward the bench while it played. It appeared all the Steelers stood their preseason game. In Miami, Dolphins receivers Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson, defensive end Robert Quinn protested during the anthem. Stills and Wilson kneeled behind teammates, lined up standing along the sideline. Quinn stood and raised his right fist. There were no apparent protests by the Buccaneers. So there's some of the sports talk around. And, of course, a lot of the talk yesterday we had to do with the NCAA and their rules, the changes, and some ideas they're proposing that kind of, according to some people, blindsided the NBA and the Players Association. Some of the things they're thinking about doing at the NCAA level when it comes to agents and people declaring for the draft and so forth. 1046 here at News Talk 1400 DWS. Open line time here the rest of the show today. Appreciate Andra Darlis for being with us in the first half hour of this second hour. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts on a Friday. What's on your mind here as we start to close out the week after this? 1048, News Talk 1400 DWS. That open line conversation to start the show in the first hour. Andrea Darlis in hour number two at the start for about a half an hour. Great information from her, someone who really knows the city of Chicago extremely well and has covered it for many, many years, used to work here. And now we're just kind of working our way through the last few minutes of the show today. If you want to call us, you can, 356-9397. If you want to email us, you can do that, talk@wdws.com, or text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. I always have a stack of miscellaneous items that I save. Sometimes classify them under what do you think, or in case you missed it, just some different stories. Kellogg's Rice Krispie Treats launching a Braille snack notes for visually impaired kids. I don't know if you knew this, Rice Krispie Treats launched writable wrappers in the summer of 2017, allowing families to send an encouragement encouraging message to their children at lunch. In a partnership now with the National Federation of the Blind, Kellogg's announced that it's launching Love Note Braille stickers and recordable audio boxes for its Rice Krispie treats. So children who are blind or have low vision can also get messages from their families. The Love Notes Braille stickers are heart-shaped, the company said. Each sticker sheet includes 8 positive phrases parents can share with children. Additionally, for those who don't read Braille, the recordable audio box plays a 10-second pre-recorded message that can be recorded over 1,000 times. I had not seen that in the Kellogg's Rice Krispie treats. So you might look for that. Also, I guess there's a meteor shower coming up Sunday night, August 12th, and the pre-dawn hours Monday, August 13th. They say a moonless sky will coincide with the peak, so expect a great performance this year. They say in the dark countryside, as many as 60 to 100 meteors per hour may be visible from Sunday night into the pre-dawn hours of Monday, August 13th, so you can look for that. Also, apparently, contagious childhood illness with a memorable name appears to be spreading across several states. This is under the, in case you missed it, doctors reportedly seeing more and more cases of hand, foot, and mouth disease. And children aren't the only ones being affected. According to multiple reports, doctors are seeing outbreaks of this in Indiana, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. And 2 Major League Baseball players in New York City also diagnosed with the disease. Recently, New York Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard contacted hand, foot, and mouth disease while appearing at a baseball camp for kids during the All-Star break. And J.A. Happ of the Yankees also had a mild case of the illness, according to CBS Sports. Hand, foot, and mouth disease, which is caused by a virus, gets its name from the small red sores or rashes that often appear in the mouth and on the palms of the hands and soles of the feet. It's a common illness among children under the age of 5, but older children and adults can catch it as well. So that was interesting. And also, there was a umpire the other night. I was up at the Yankees-White Sox game on Monday. I didn't see this. I guess this was during a different night, I guess Wednesday. Major League Baseball umpire pulls giant bug from his ear during the Yankees-White Sox game. At Guaranteed Rate Field, umpire Bruce Dreckman pulled a live bug out of his ear. The Yankees network, what they call YES, the YES network, shared the rather uncomfortable scene. Goes on to comment, umpires would probably normally love earplugs to block out managers and players arguing their calls, but Dreckman surely won't be recommending bugs to do the trick in the near future. There's some of the in case you missed it information I've had on a stack here for a while. 10:53, back with more of your phone calls, emails, and texts in a moment. Yeah, I always enjoy the sports talk show with Scott and the World According to Bob. I always like that segment. Bob's always got some great thoughts. Of course, all the sports talk show tomorrow will be covering football and other sports with Steve Kelly and Lauren Tate coming up tomorrow. We got a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Says, would it be against NCAA rules for a football team to wear different uniforms on offense and defense? Ken says, I think that'd be an interesting concept. I like the way you're thinking, Ken. Kind of like that. Although my score sheet would probably have to, I'd have to adjust the way I do my my score sheets. Have 4 different colors, I guess. All right, 10:56 here. Let's go to the phone. Stan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. Nice to talk to you. I don't know if you had a chance to take note of Trump's flip-flop position on chain migration.
With his in-laws?
Yes.
I saw that yesterday. They were sworn in, right, as citizens?
They were sworn in yesterday using chain migration techniques to get them to be U.S. citizens. Of course, they're white, so, you know, it's okay with Trump and his allies.
I forget where she's from. Is it Slovenia? I can't remember.
Slovenia, Slovakia, mm-hmm. to something. one of the satellite states of the U.S., the Russia situation, mm-hmm. Russian Federation, whatever they called it.
I did see that. Yeah, it was interesting. I saw that yesterday.
But he blew his chain, his dog whistle again about the blacks on the NFL teams, so that people would think about that instead of what's really going on. I mean, we got his administration has had about 35 different indictments out with either people in his administration or helping his administration illegally do stuff. 35 indictments, and there's no there. Shut the investigation down before we find out how many more indictments there's going to be. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hey, Stan,
we got to worry about football players.
Well, all right. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Yep, thank you. Have a good weekend. Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog. Corey Swanson, a hands-on owner, meaning he works on almost every job with the crew. He's not sitting in an office somewhere with his feet on a desk. I mean, he's out there working it hard. He's a graduate of Rantoul High School in the University of Illinois, and his wife, Melissa, 100% owned and operated by Corey Swanson and his wife. The crew, full-time employees, full benefits, 401ks, the whole works. They guarantee the workmanship Swanson Roofing does for the lifetime of your roof, and the materials they use are guaranteed for 50 years. Swanson Roofing takes responsibility and ownership of every past customer, and that's a cornerstone of the business, always has been. Swanson Roofing will also help you with small repairs and help you save your roof. The Roofing Dog provides services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. For a free estimate, 217-355-ROOF. That's 217-355-7663 if you prefer the numbers. Or you can visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com, one of our many sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Andrea mentioned a text in, says, Andrea mentioned illegal guns is a big problem, but no focus on where the guns are coming from. We can track guns and weapons all over the world, but we can't track guns coming into two or three neighborhoods. The texter says, I'm not buying that. All right, appreciate all the input today, both on the phone, on the emails, and the text, and Andrea Darlis for her stopping by as well on the phone from Chicago. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday morning starting at 9. Thanks for being with us. Really do appreciate you listening to us on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. It's a privilege to be with you, and it's 11 o'clock Central Time.